Welcome back to another episode of the Juice Moves Podcast. This week's episode is with Ari Zolden. He's an entrepreneur, a radio and TV commentator on Fox, CNN, CNBC, and other big platforms, a speaker, a media personality, and best-selling author. He's also the CEO and founder of an e-commerce company called Quantum Media, and he oversaw an expansion from a startup in 2008 to a multi-million dollar company in 2014, gaining the company over 4,000% increase in revenue. He's an adjunct professor at YU, a contributor for Forbes and other big sites, and is involved with so much more. Ari, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great to be here. Thank you, Akiva. Just a note to mention, Quantum Networks was a company that was sold. The focus here is Quantum Media, which we're a marketing firm. But thank you for that introduction. I appreciate that.
Thank you for agreeing to come on. I guess before we talk about you as a person, what exactly is Quantum Networks or Quantum Media, and how do you get started with it?
Sure. Quantum Media is a marketing firm. We do both digital marketing in addition to public relations. We get our clients in the media, on television, mentioned in print and the radio. We work with a host of different clients. A lot of them are publicly traded companies, and we get them exposure. That's what the company's mission is.
That's pretty cool. And I guess we'll turn back to your start in the working world. And, you know, every person has their woes, and you were fired a week into your first job out of college. And then once you got your company going, and you've had woes like being involved for 36 months and worked for a company that didn't take off. So how do you overcome setbacks and woes and make sure you keep on moving in a positive way?
Sure. It's a good question, Akiva. And it's, you know, I've always found that being an entrepreneur it's very much a personal journey. You know, we could talk kind of business and stats and Excel spreadsheets and growth models all day long, but at the end of the day, it's really about someone's resilience. Can they handle difficult and challenging times? Because, you know, you only hear about the rosy times, right? People hear about exits and when they're building their startup and everything is all rosy. I could tell you 9 out of 10 times, it's not that at all, Akiva. It's about challenges and hurdles and roadblocks and trying to figure out how to make your bills at the end of the month. So the question really becomes many times is, you know, how are you going to weather that storm? And that storm happens on a daily basis.
Wow, that's I guess a good idea. And on the flip side, you know, sometimes people have good timing or good bounces. And I think the startup of your company did overlap a little bit with the internet boom. So how does one make sure they line themselves up with good positioning and set themselves up for a positive trajectory?
So Akiva, a lot of it, I can't put in a business model or quantify because it comes down to, you know, how do you quantify Mazel? You know, a lot of it is being at the right time at the right place, which is something that we don't, as human beings, we can't control entirely. But having said that, you do have to do your research. You do have to try your best to time the market. But there is a lot of things that are completely out of your control. And I think that a lot of the successful, again, however you determine success, but a lot of these successful people out there were at the right time, at the right place. You look at, you know, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and Larry Ellison and Paul Allen. They were at the right time, at the right place, but they saw the opportunity to be able to step into that opportunity. And I think that's critically important.
Wow. And I know that you as a CEO and founder have interviewed 40 to 50 people a week for positions and constantly go through many different types of candidates. What are things that the listeners can do to try to stand out or make a positive impression in the multitudes of people applying for the same job as them?
Sure. You know, spot on, Akiva. You got on this call and I was just blown away by the fact that you've done your research.
Thank you.
And I don't think, quite frankly, I was really amazed. You know, most people, I think, preparing for an interview, they don't do their research, they're not prepared. That's kind of step one, learning as much about the company and the person interviewing as possible, down to the nitty gritty, right? Because I think when you're interviewing for a job, you want to stand out. So I think you have to keep asking yourself the question, well, how are you going to stand out? And being prepared is one of those things. A second thing that I look for is follow-up, making sure that the person, you know, follows up in a timely manner. And then, you know, if I don't respond, you know, in a timely manner, having that person follow up again, and just being on top of your game. And I think those are kind of, you'd think that those are basic requirements or qualifications, but a lot of people I find, or a lot of people interviewing, kind of miss the boat there. So I think it's paying attention to those three things.
Definitely. Wow. And 15 years ago, you got involved with the speaking and media. How does that change how you leverage your business?
So I, while I was built over the course of my career in building startups, a lot of them, you know, failed. A lot of the initiatives I was working on didn't really pan out as I expected to, because I was missing the secret ingredient of marketing and media and messaging and positioning. So I started doing it for myself. To start, I never really hired a traditional firm to do it. So going through the School of Hard Knocks and learning how to market yourself lended me the opportunity to start doing it for other people. And that's how I started building my PR and marketing company.
That's pretty cool. And as a public speaker, you've done different things to gain the audience's attention, like throwing a glass across the room and shattering it to leave an imprint on the audience. What are ways someone can make the actual message of their speech memorable?
I think it's, you know, at the end of the day, there are tens of thousands of speeches that are given, you know, every day, millions a month. What's going to set you apart from the next person? You know, is it going to be your body language? Is it going to be your content? Is it going to be the way you look? And I think it's probably a combination of all three of those things, but condensed in a very, very short message. You know, people's attention spans today are about, you know, the size of a fruit fly in a best case scenario. So how do you get your message in there as potently as possible, and figuring out how the audience could walk away with the right sound bites, but also building in certain call to actions also are probably just as equally as important.
Wow, sounds something worth people considering. You know, I've heard you talk with East about speaking to hundreds of people in multiple different countries, and you always appear calm and collected on TV. Do you ever get nervous, and how do you overcome that?
I think anyone or everyone before, you know, potentially getting in front of an, you know, an audience of 40 million plus people, so certainly do I get nervous 100%. I've learned though over the years to kind of temper my nervousness. A lot of it depends on the host too, and your interaction and your dynamic with the host. You know, there are hosts that are very difficult and very challenging and don't have the best personality and make it very hard for you to click. There are other hosts that make it very comfortable for you to open up and to be yourself. But the thing that I do is probably prepare my material as best as I can, run through my talking points. And then I really just hope that the host creates an environment that is warm, friendly, and comfortable for me to speak on.
Wow. And I think of something I've observed watching commentary TV and business TV is people sometimes struggle to find a balance between giving unbiased reporting and self-promotion. So as someone who does both for work and on TV, how do you find a balance?
That's a great question. And quite frankly, Akiba, I've never been asked that question. So kudos to you. So I need to take a moment and think about it. How do I balance the two? So I think at this point in my career, I'm doing less and less, I guess, self-promotional. I'm just trying to put out as much good unbiased content as possible, hoping that I'll get some eyes on my commentary, and then eventually will, you know, possibly convert into business. But I think I go in non-promotional whatsoever, providing good guidance and unbiased advice. And then kind of leave it up to the powers to be whether or not, you know, things will, you know, or people will, opportunities will convert into business.
Wow. And why do you like radio and podcasts more than TV?
I don't think it's more. I think it's, they're different mediums. I do love television. Radio and podcasts, I find, create more of an intimate, if you will, experience. The people that are downloading podcasts, they're typically the engaged listeners. They'll listen to a full 15 or 30 minute segment. So I think you're able to build a closer, more engaged or committed audience. So that's interesting. And certainly just as a new form of media, podcast is certainly very, very exciting. So, and there's a lot of crossover between all three medias.
Well, and I know that I heard you speak in the past about one thing you wish you could tell your 25-year-old self was to appreciate every moment. And you're definitely someone who's lived out many appreciative moments. I've seen you online interviewing people or being interviewed or having success in the business. Looking back, and hopefully you'll have stuff to look forward to, but looking back, how do you appreciate the little moments in a world that's so quickly moving?
How do I appreciate them? Probably taking like a moment to stop, right? We're so into the moment of the hustle and running and moving. Our attention spans are smaller. Sometimes taking like a break, you know, a mental break, a physical break is very, very healthy and makes you see things clear. You know, that's one of the things that I love about Chavez, and I'm very, very public about that as well. I talk about on television too, unplugging. And it's great. You know, it's 25 hours, even if one is not the most spiritual person, you know, and you could take it on a Wednesday, on a Friday, it doesn't matter what day. For me, you know, it's great. It's Shabbos, because I think it's a very holy day. But having that ability to unplug from work completely, from all technology, really gives me perspective and to focus on the family and going to shul and to do the things that I think are super important.
Wow. And I guess we'll conclude with just a few more questions, but one of them is you've been on half a dozen podcasts and you've been on other radio or TV networks. As someone who's helped other businesses with marketing and media exposure, what do you think is something we should be doing as podcast hosts to try to get out there to more people?
I think introducing video is incredibly important. You know, podcast kind of out of the gate was known as an audio opportunity or an audio platform. I think incorporating video is absolutely essential because, you know, that content then could be taken and put on YouTube and YouTube Shorts and Instagram and throughout social media. And obviously people are very interested in, people are very, very visual, although there's a big community that's auditorial, but the video aspect of it, I think, is really, really important. Second is building your social community is really important. Picking like two or three platforms that are relative to you. If it's business oriented, double down on LinkedIn. If it's something more on the creative side, obviously we want to double down on Instagram and consistently focus on building quality followers. It's not today, you know, about so much about, you know, how many followers you have. It's more about, you know, are these real dynamic followers that are interested in having what, you know, in hearing what you have to say, and then adding value to your base. That's the most important thing. You know, why should people listen to you? You know, it's because you're producing really good thought leadership type of content. And I think those are pretty much the building blocks of a successful outcome.
Wow. Thank you for the advice. And we'll close up with one quick question. And then the last question for every episode. The quick question is, I've heard you talk about mixing traveling with business. So what's been your favorite place to visit and why?
I have a short list. Monaco is one of them. I'm actually heading there again next week. The south of France and Monaco, that area, I think, is very special. I'm saying Israel, of course, because, you know, aside from the business opportunities there, you get, you know, replugged in and spiritually connected. And then I'd say, you know, India and Africa, although those are two very large continents to tackle. But within those, I think, you know, New Delhi and in Africa, Kenya, Uganda, I find to be extraordinary places to visit.
Okay. And the last question for the episode is the same for every guest, which is, you've been asked so many questions after public speaking opportunities or online or other things. And even though you've been asked so many questions, there's always questions people want to be asked that they wish they were, but they never were asked. So looking back at all the questions you've gotten, what's a question you've never gotten that you wished you would have, and what answer would it be?
you're a great interviewer, Akiva. I do have to say this, and this is not promotional online. You really, your questions are amazing because they're very thought provoking.
Thank you.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, what would you do? What would you do on your last day on planet Earth? If you had 12 hours left on this Earth, how would you spend your time?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Haven't been asked that, haven't thought about it. And I think I probably would want to be locked in a room with my family with zero distractions.
That's very nice. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you again for joining. All the answers are very enlightening, and I found them to be very good. Everyone check out Ari Zoldan on Twitter, online, and everywhere else. Anything else you want to say before we end?
No, I love this. I love that you're deep into the podcast space. I have no doubt that you will be extraordinarily successful. Due in part also that you've done your research and you make a really, really engaging host. So hatzlacha to you.
Thank you for listening to this past episode of the Jewish Schmooze podcast. To get our latest updates and contact us, you can follow us on Twitter at Jews_Schmooze. If you want to sponsor an upcoming episode, you can reach out to JewsSchmoozeMarketing@gmail.com. And if you give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening on, that would be tremendously appreciated. Thank you so much, and hope you're looking forward to the next episode also.